from deep inside your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's so tough to get these things right, you know, because it's not over till it's over, really. And if you write your editorials before it's over, then it's tough to get it right. From the New York Post, Friday morning. Looks like the curse of the Bambino boomerang this year, wrote the Post in an editorial. Despite holding a 3-2 lead in games over the Boston Red Sox, the Yankees couldn't get the job done at home. Their season ended last night, unquote. The hitting fell short, quoting again, and the bullpen simply didn't deliver, the editorial concluded. Wait till next year. This was an editorial in the same paper whose front page carried the headline Destiny, followed by Boone's Homer Dooms Cursed Sox. According to the newspaper's editor-in-chief, Carl Allen, the editorial page editor prepared two editorials well before the end of the game, one if the Yankees won, the other if they lost. The editors then created two electronic files of the competing editorial pages. About 1 a.m., the decision was made to kill an editorial that had run lamenting the most recent arrest of Rodney King, and to substitute the page that congratulated the Yankees. An individual then transmitted the wrong page to the plant. It therefore got on the press. It was a case of human error. Someone pushed the wrong button, dear boy, said the New York Post editor. Owned by Rupert Murdoch. I'm sure Rupert will give the someone a big raise to encourage him to do better in the future. And from the president's trip, there'll be a lot of information, ladies and gentlemen. Fret not about the president's trip to Asia. But just in case you missed this, American officials say the White House responded to a Thai government request. He's going to Thailand. Asking for Mr. Bush's favorite Thai dishes. But they declined to disclose what the president asked to be served. Yeah, I would love to know the president's favorite Thai dishes. Chicken fried steak, do they have that? Hash browns? Yeah, they got that, sir. Okay, your favorite Thai dishes, sir. Hamburger? You got corned beef hash? Any of that? We got that, sir. Favorite Thai dishes. He doesn't eat when he wears a tie. Hello, welcome to the show.
Take it down, mess it up, light a match, make a fire, walk away as a money burns, it might just save your life. I pray the happenstance, or I see my fortune fly. Sometimes you lift it up, another long day goes by, and I won't travel into the strong daylight desire.
But
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to another edition of the show. Arnold's first promise, not kept. He promised he would go to George Bush with a list of demands for California. He met with Bush this week, presented no demands. I'm just saying, you know, nobody twisted his arm to say that, did they? Could you twist that arm? George Bush this week on the PR offensive defending the war in Iraq. Quote, I acted because I was not about to leave the security of the American people in the hands of a madman, unquote. Text of today's broadcast, who's the madman? Dateline Manila, Marceno de la Cruz and 290 other families living in a shantytown facing the legislative building where Bush is the first U.S. president since Eisenhower to address the joint session of the Philippine Congress. She and her neighbors were awoken recently by a government official yelling into a megaphone, it's your choice, but you have to go. Either you tear down your houses yourself or we'll tear them down for you. President Bush is coming. This reminds me of I'm not a big fan of storefront joke marquees, but in San Francisco this week, on Polk Street, I believe, there's a sign that says, Jesus is coming. Everybody look busy. De La Cruz, back to Manila. De La Cruz has sat shirtless and barefoot on top of a chair atop piles of wood scraps and tin sheets that was once his home's walls and roof. Said he knew the official wasn't bluffing. Government bulldozers had already raised other slums nearby ahead of the presidential business. Visit. I never had any problem with Bush coming here. Why did they have to tear down our houses? Said the father of three. Nobody from the outside is going to believe this, that people had their homes demolished for so short a visit by this guy Bush. Bush spent 8 hours in Manila before moving on to Thailand, where he requested Pad Thai. Or not. Hey, you know, every city makes itself look nice for visiting potentate, don't they? On the other hand, plans for the Queen of England and George Bush to make a triumphant procession along the Mall, as they call it, during the president's state visit to Britain next month, have been abandoned because of fears of anti-war protests. The decision has disappointed the president and his senior aides. The procession is traditionally the public high point of a state visit. A senior palace official said that detailed plans had been made, but Downing Street, anxious about possible anti-war protests, has now decided to pull the plug on it. The White House made no attempt to hide their disappointment, said a spokesperson for the British government. They saw it, quote, obviously, as a great photo opportunity. Other proposed events have also been curtailed or canceled. He will not address Parliament because of fears of a boycott by members of Parliament. Downing Street has instead decided to stage photo events they can control. The president and the queen are expected to be photographed together having tea at Buckingham Palace. You don't have instant coffee? Yeah, get Nescafe here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, some news from outside the bubble. Even from Americans, but you just... Because the media are so focused now on the bad news, that's the current line out of Washington, out of the administration. Now, obviously, you have to say they have a prima facie case, because when the media reports were full of videotape coming back from the embedded reporters with the units on the roll to Baghdad, the opinion polls showed the country liked the whole Iraq deal. The minute that the networks and the newspapers pulled their embeds out because of costs and started having correspondents roving around on their own, concentrating on the bad news, the opinion polls on the war went down. So, of course, the administration is going to say it's the media's fault. Wouldn't you? General Anthony Zinni, former Marine, commander of something. He ran something over there. He addressed a forum sponsored by the U.S. Naval Institute and the Marine Corps Association. He says, we're in danger of failing in Iraq because the administration had not readied itself for what would follow the initial military engagement. Right now, in a place like Iraq, you're dealing with jihadists that are coming in to raise hell, crime in the streets that's rampant, ex-Ba'ath that's still running around, and the potential now for this country to fragment. Shia on Shia, Shia on Sunni, Kurd on Turkmen. It's a powder keg. I just got back from Jordan. I talked to a number of Iraqis there, and what I hear scares me even more than what I read in the newspaper. Resources are needed, a strategy is needed, a plan. This is a different kind of conflict, unquote Anthony Zinni, the Marine general. He displayed little confidence in Bush and his aides. He said their Iraq endeavors landed the United States in the middle of assorted culture wars in the Middle East. We don't understand that culture, he said. I've spent the last 15 years of my life in this part of the world. He was former head of CENTCOM. And I'll tell you, every time I hear one of the dilettantes back here speak about this region of the world, they don't have a clue. They don't understand what makes them tick. They don't understand where they are in their own history. They don't understand what our role is. We're great at dealing with the tactical problems, the killing and the breaking. We're lousy at solving the strategic problems. We should be extremely proud of what our people did out there. It kills me when I hear of the continuing casualties and the sacrifice that are being made. It also kills me when I hear someone say, well, each one of those is a personal tragedy, but in the overall scheme of things, they're insignificant statistically. When we put our this is finally Anthony, General Anthony Zinni, former head of CENTCOM. When we put our enlisted men and women in harm's way, it had better count for something. It can't be because some policy wonk back here has a brain fart of an idea of a strategy that isn't thought out. Oh, somebody thought it out. Dateline Washington, a year-long State Department study predicted many of the problems that have plagued the American-led occupation of Iraq, according to internal State Department documents leaked to the New York Times. The State Department project began in April 2002. Who knew we were going to have a war with Iraq in April 2002, ladies and gentlemen? Isn't that wild? The State Department project assembled more than 200 Iraqi lawyers, engineers, business people, and other experts into 17 working groups to study topics ranging from crafting a new justice system to reorganizing the military. Their findings included a much more dire assessment of Iraq's dilapidated electrical and water systems than Pentagon officials assumed. They warned of a society so brutalized by Saddam Hussein's rule that many Iraqis might react coolly to Americans' notion of quickly rebuilding civil society. Several officials said that many of the findings in the study were ignored by Pentagon officials until recently. The study cost $5 million. Pentagon officials probably ignored it because it didn't cost enough. The work is now being relied on heavily as occupation forces struggle to impose stability in Iraq. The working group was eerily prescient in forecasting the widespread looting. The military office initially charged with rebuilding Iraq did not learn of the State Department study until a major government drill in late February. The State Department official overseeing this study was so impressed aides to Jay Garner, our first military overseer of the post-war Iraq, that they recruited him, Tom Warrick, to join the team. They wanted to use him because we had few experts on Iraq on the Pentagon staff, but top Pentagon officials blocked his appointment, and much of the project's work was shelved. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like the State Department at war with the Defense Department. Says the Pentagon spokesman Larry DeRita, not Joe DeRita. This is Larry. It is flatly wrong to say this work was ignored. It was good work. It was taken into account. It had some influence on people's thinking, and it was a valuable contribution. Boy, that sounds like runner-up. That sounds like, and if for any reason the Pentagon cannot complete its work as Miss Iraq, the State Department will sit Dateline Fort Stewart, Georgia. Hundreds of sick and wounded because we want to support the troops, ladies and gentlemen. We all want to support the troops. Hundreds of sick and wounded U.S. soldiers, including many who served in the Iraq War, are languishing in hot cement barracks in Fort Stewart while they wait sometimes for months to see doctors. The National Guard and Army Reserve soldiers' living conditions are so substandard and the medical care so poor, many of them believe the Army is trying to push them out with reduced benefits for their ailments. One document shown to United Press International, owned by the Moonies, states that no more doctor appointments are available from October 14th through November 11th. Ironically enough, Veterans Day. One month after President Bush greeted soldiers at Fort Stewart, home of the 3rd Infantry Division, as heroes on the return from Iraq, 600 sick or injured members of the Army Reserves and National Guard are warehoused in rows of spare, steamy, and dark cement barracks in a sandy field, waiting for doctors to treat their wounds or illnesses. They're on what the Army calls medical hold, while the Army decides how sick and disabled they are and what benefits, or if any, they should get as a result. Some of the soldiers said they have waited 6 hours a day for an appointment without seeing a doctor. Others described waiting weeks or months without getting a diagnosis or proper treatment. The soldiers said professional active duty personnel are getting better treatment, while troops who serve in the Guard or Reserve are left to wallow in medical hold. Hey, welcome to civilian. Welcome back to civilian life. From The Telegraph, a pro-Iraq war newspaper in London. By day, Jabir Saeed is a uniformed officer in Iraq's new police force. He sits in quietly on liaison meetings with U.S. troops. By night, he returns home to change into a long white gown and blend back in with the local resistance, planning and taking part in the very attacks on American soldiers that he is paid to prevent. Despite his double life, Jabir Saeed says he does not hate foreigners, but he cannot tolerate an occupation that has split the country between Sunni, Shia, Kurd, and Jew. First mention of Jews in Iraq, ladies and gentlemen. He accepted work with the Iraqi police to provide his family with the income that their small farm cannot generate. I have good relations with the American soldiers in my work, but I live in a different situation. The Americans have given us nothing, no jobs and no hopes. They are thieves. They break into our houses without warning and stand on our heads. This is why the people are getting more hurt and more angry. This is why we want revenge. See, if we sent Cal Worthington over there, he'd stand on his head. They'd love us. The uncertain loyalties of men such as Jabir have continued to the sagging morale of the U.S. military in Iraq, according to the pro-war British newspaper, The Telegraph. Not owned by Rupert Murdoch, but also from The Telegraph. From the day the United States Army freed the Shia holy city of Najaf, Abdul Munim seemed to be a man they could do business with. Yet within weeks of persuading U.S. commanders to appoint him as the first post-war governor of Najaf, the former Iraqi colonel was running a regime much like the one he helped to oust, earning him the title the Second Saddam. Between photo calls with U.S. generals and school reopenings, he allegedly masterminded a large-scale car theft ring, tried to empty local banks of public funds, and kidnapped and imprisoned anyone who got in his way. He's now on trial. From another British newspaper, war in Iraq has swollen the ranks of al-Qaeda and galvanized its will by increasing radical passions among Muslims, according to an authoritative think tank. The warning, echoing earlier ones by British intelligence, was made in an annual report of the London-based International Institute for Strategic Studies. It said U.S. claims after the invasion that al-Qaeda was on the run and that the war on terror had turned the corner were overconfident. John Chipman, the Institute's director, warned the full effect of the war might never be known because of the chaos it had left behind. Never's a long time, babe. Long, long time. New babies are being named Saddam by their parents in the oil refinery town of Baiji, 160 miles north of Baghdad, such as their hostility to the U.S. occupation, according to an official at the local Births and Deaths Registration Office. Iraqis have scrawled "Long Live Saddam" slogans everywhere in Baiji. The mayor's office and a building which housed a pro-American opposition party have been burned out, set on fire by demonstrators who brandished pictures of the former Iraqi leader. A local sheikh said the people have decided the disasters they suffer under the Americans are worse than those they suffered under Saddam Hussein. Local leaders said guerrilla attacks were happening more frequently because many people who used to work for Saddam were out of a job, and there had been a furious reaction to the random searches, arrests, and shootings by U.S. soldiers. But you know, there's good news, too. You'll hear some of that somewhere, I'm sure. But now, ladies and gentlemen, time for the apologies of the week. Let's get back inside the bubble. We're so sorry. Where it's warm and comfy. And everything's fine. Dateline Fiji, the family of an English missionary who was eaten by Fijian tribes people 136 years ago, will receive an apology. According to local media, the remote village of Navatusila on the Fijian island of Vidilevu, has invited the descendants of the late Reverend Thomas Baker to visit next month. Reverend Baker was killed and cooked by the people of Navatusila on July 21, 1867, after he took a comb out of a chief's hair. It is forbidden to touch the head of a Fijian chief. One villager who took part in the feast was quoted in contemporary accounts as saying, "We ate everything but his boots." One of his boots is reportedly on display in the Fiji Museum. Fiji's prime minister is expected to attend the traditional apology. Reverend Baker is the only white man to have fallen victim to Fiji cannibals. Who would have known that a nation known for cannibalism would have eaten only one white guy? A Dateline Pikeville, Kentucky, a federal prosecutor apologized for describing some potential jurors in the mountain region of eastern Kentucky as, quote, illiterate cave dwellers, unquote. Assistant U.S. Attorney Kenneth Taylor offered the apology in a letter to be published Friday in the Appalachian News Express. The comment was not meant to be a regional slur. To the extent that it was misinterpreted to be one, he said, "I apologize." He was trying to persuade a judge not to move a trial. Change of venue. A North Carolina general surgeon has apologized for a letter he put in the mailboxes of fellow physicians that listed the names and addresses of jurors who found a doctor guilty at a medical malpractice trial and others of whom he was leery. That's all you need to know about that. Representative Max Burns of Georgia apologized to Savannah Jewish leaders this week for anti-Semitic remarks a supporter made at a fundraiser for the conservative Republicans 3 weeks ago. "He called our office today," says Sharon Paz, executive director of the Savannah Jewish Federation. "We felt he was sincere in his apology and sincere in feeling badly that he did not comment at the time." Burns' apology was in connection with a remark about, quote, "that Jew boy down in Savannah," unquote, made by Savannah businessman Jackie Summers. His reference was to Tony Center, a Democratic candidate, hoping to challenge Burns. On a related issue, Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad, whose country apparently apologized, then refused to apologize for a speech in which he said Jews ruled the world, accusing the West of a double standard in criticizing Muslims and Jews. The foreign minister of the country said, "I'm sorry that the speech was taken out of context. That is not saying I'm sorry for the speech." Mahathir said Westerners such as the Reverend Jerry Falwell receive little fallout for labeling the Prophet Muhammad a terrorist, really, while statements about Israel's actions against Palestinians draw immediate charges of anti-Semitism. "Are we not allowed at all to criticize the Jews if they do things which are wrong?" Mahathir asked. "If Muslims can be accused of being terrorists, then others can accuse the Jews of being terrorists also," he said. He accused most European leaders, including Americans and Australians, being biased. So they're sorry that we didn't get it. The fan, of course, who played a key role in the Chicago Cubs' collapse in Game 6, issued an apology this week saying he was brokenhearted. "I had my eyes glued on the approaching ball the entire time. It was so caught up in the moment I did not even see Moises Alou, much less that he may have had a play," Steve Bartman said in a statement. "Had I thought for 1 second the ball was playable, or had I seen Alou approaching, I would have done whatever I could to get out of the way and give Alou a chance to make the catch." Of course, he's now under tight security. And back to our previous line of apologies. A senior editor of the New Republic is apologizing for saying in his column that the producers of the hit movie Kill Bill are Jewish executives who worship money above all else. In an apology posted on the website, the editor Greg Easterbrook said he was guilty of mangling words in the article. He attacked Kill Bill and Quentin Tarantino for glorifying violence and criticized Miramax, which released the film, and its parent company Disney for wallowing in gore for profit. Easterbrook said he's prepared to defend the thoughts of his essay, but regrets the way he expressed himself. Quentin Tarantino Jewish? And finally, ladies and gentlemen, a top Pentagon general apologized Friday to those offended by his statements casting the war on terrorism in religious terms. Army Lieutenant General William Boykin said he never meant to offend Muslims. "I'm not anti-Islam or any other religion," he said. "I support the free exercise of all religions. For those who have been offended by my statements, I offer a sincere apology." Pentagon officials spent hours deliberating how to calm the storm of criticism before they issued a statement. The general was revealed by videotapes to have said of a 1993 battle with a Muslim militia leader in Somalia, "I knew that my God was bigger than his. I knew that my God was a real God and his was an idol." After the man was captured, Boykin said he told the man, "You underestimated my God. You underestimated our God. I am neither a zealot nor an extremist," the general said in the statement, "only a soldier who has an abiding faith." Don Rumsfeld declined to condemn his statements. Boykin also said, "The United States is at war with a guy named Satan." More about that moments from now here on Le Show. Apologies of the week, a copyrighted feature.
I was ready, like a battleship at Pearl Harbor. I was steady, like a shave with a part-time barber. I was green, and need I tell you that isn't easy. But I was happy, not to mention grumpy and sneezy. I was rolling like a cue ball straight for the pocket. And I had no doubt just how things would turn out to be. I was sure and I was certain, but romance rang down the curtain. I was ready for her, but she wasn't ready for me. Goose that's cooked to perfection. But I was open for a left to the low midsection. I'd been through it like a plumber who cleans the drains out. But I blew it when the good Lord passed all the brains out. I was ready, just like Oswald was ready for Ruby. Like intern Lewinsky was ready to star on TV. I was poised and well prepared, but who knew? And what's more, who cared? I was ready for her. Nelson Eddy for her. I was ready for her, but she wasn't ready for me. She wasn't ready for me.
As we've already discussed on this broadcast, General Boykin appears to have issued an apology and apologized, I guess, specifically to any Muslims who may have been offended by his statements that were reported earlier this week. It appears, though, that he did not apologize to one of the forces that he attacked, particularly by name. And it being that time of year, we thought we'd get a response on our newsmaker line. General Boykin said, "We were at war with a guy named Satan." I'd like to welcome back to the show a guy named Satan.
Hi, Harry.
How are you, Satan?
Very well, and you?
I'm good. Are you using a port?
Listen, I appreciate the airtime on this.
Well, it's my pleasure. Satan, are you on a portable phone?
No, I'm on a hardline, Harry.
Okay, I'm glad to hear it. So, how did you feel when you heard General Boykin say on this week that he was at war with a guy named Satan?
I know. I have a cute way of answering that, Harry. When I hear General Boykin, I go, "Oh, Boykin, not him again."
Does Satan have writers?
Obviously not.
Yeah.
I like to have. I also like poetry.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it? Is it bad poetry?
No, well, you know, to my wife, it's just for my own let your hair down time, you know.
Love poetry?
Mm-hmm.
Satan's love poetry? That would sound like an instant bestseller to me, just off the
top. Yeah, it's a contradiction in terms, doesn't it, Harry?
It really does, but that would be the what would propel it to the top of the bestseller list, wouldn't it?
Well, I start thinking, oh, I gotta get on a bestseller list, it'll all choke and I'm not able to write anything. I should just write what I feel and what happens, happens, I guess.
Yeah, well, look, it works for the kids on Whose Line, so.
I love them. They're really, really good.
Are they yours?
No, I wish.
Yeah. Renegotiation time is coming up, isn't it?
I wish. You know, I do have a theatrical management company.
Really?
I started an agency.
Huh.
It's called The Cancer Company. It's named after my sign.
The Cancer Company?
It's not the disease cancer. It's that cancer is my sign.
I see. Satan is a cancer.
Yeah, I'm one of those names like Endeavor or Orion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it continues to be more confusing than it's worth.
Yeah.
More confusing than the fun of the name.
Yeah.
Then we'll probably just...
Change it to initials? TCA.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all right. But let's get back to this thing about the war, because are you at war with us, Satan?
Oh, absolutely not. First of all, Harry, I'm a little like, you know, the legend of Mafia, where people think, oh, the Mafia runs Vegas. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been running Vegas for years. Mm-hmm. I have really stepped down from my, you know, hands-on evil, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I got an office of young Turks who really run it. I'm kind of more the Satan emeritus now.
Hmm.
You know?
Well, it's been a while.
I wanted to take a little bit of time and just smell the roses a little bit. And I have nothing to do with this terror stuff. I'm really kind of the dean there, you might say.
Hmm.
And I just kind of throw my energies into corny as it sounds. And I know your show is a satirical show, and I don't want to get it schmaltzy, but I feel like I've been given so much that I'm trying to give just a little bit back.
Well, you've taken so much.
Whatever.
Okay. So you're going to take some back.
Take some, that's right.
Yeah.
Take some back by giving back.
By giving back. Do you do anything evil these days?
Again, and I don't want to make this one of those confrontational shows, but I...
Hey, I'm no Bill O'Reilly.
He's good. I love him.
Mm.
I don't know. Depends what you mean by evil. You know, I don't really see anything as evil.
You see no evil.
Right.
Hmm. But now, all right, let me give you a concrete example. When no celebrity showed up for the Chevy Chase roast last year, was that you? Was that your work?
No, there is such a thing as, what do they call it?
Coincidence?
No, I can't even think of the word.
Karma?
No, when people can do their own destinies.
Oh, freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. So are you saying, Satan, that you, do you do nothing evil anymore? I mean...
Yeah, I'm going to be real candid, and I'm only talking about this because maybe it'll help somebody else. But I had 4 feet of my colon removed.
Wow.
Last spring.
Wow.
And it slowed me down, and it made me wake up a little bit and say, hey, Satan... I'm the smell of roses department, you know. Give something back.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of throwing my energies more towards the environment now.
Towards...
Doing a lot of good stuff over at the UN.
Towards screwing up the environment?
No. I'm trying to save the ospreys.
Wow.
Yeah. I can hire a press agent and just tell people, oh, he's not really so evil.
Yeah.
I often say this in my lectures. God has a better press agent than I do. So I'm a little like Sinatra. The book on Sinatra was always, you know, he doesn't want you to know all the good stuff he does.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit like I'm in that bag.
Wow. So where do you deliver these lectures?
Oh, I do about 80 lectures a year. I do a lot of college. Carl Denier. I usually follow Bill Cosby around the country.
Under your own name?
Sure.
Speaking tonight, Satan, 8 p.m. Tickets available?
Sure.
Wow.
Once in a while, hey, you'll get picketed.
Yeah.
Especially at your Christian colleges.
Yeah, of course.
But at NYU or Berkeley, I kill it. You know, it's great for me because I can stay in touch with the young people.
Yeah. Well, now by you kill, you don't mean...
No. It really goes down well.
I see. So, when you heard, and I'm sure you watch the news if you don't actually write it, when you heard General Boykin say he was at war with you, did you get in touch with him and say, hey, or anything like that?
if I tried to answer a lot of my critics, I wouldn't have time for a lot of the other stuff I'm into.
You'd never have time for golf.
Management.
Yeah.
By the way, quickly, I just want to tell you who we've got under our banner now.
I'm not sure they want this known, do they?
You think?
Well, managed by Satan, do you think?
Harry, I've got Ellen DeGeneres' mother. We have 50 Cent.
50 Cent.
50 Cent?
Yeah.
Susan Sarandon? Katie Couric.
Okay, I'm not sure. Do these people authorize you to say that they're represented by you? You know what I'm saying? There could be a backlash.
They accept the work.
Yeah, they cash the checks.
Question answered.
Yeah.
We're trying to put together a talk show for Ellen DeGeneres' mother.
Really?
Her own talk show.
For her mother?
Yeah.
What would the show be?
It would just be cooking.
Yeah.
Interview stuff.
Traditional kind of show.
Traditional stuff. We'll get that guy who does the cookie inventions.
Oh, yeah.
He's great.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, Satan. You're saying you've given up evil altogether.
No, I'm saying that I try to keep my hand in. You know, there's so much going on that I don't really have to generate. I sow a lot of seeds. They're out there.
Mm.
If I stopped evil completely, I'd be lying to you, and I have too much respect for you.
Thank you.
With the Simpsons.
No.
Mighty Wind, whatever.
Yeah.
To lie to you.
Yeah.
I do some stuff.
Like what?
The Kobe Bryant thing. Now, there's this quick example, and I don't want to go into everything because that case is still pending. But I just love interracial porn.
You do what?
I love interracial porn.
I see.
So I did that really for my own, some would say just selfishly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And anything in the political world or in the world events? I mean, are you responsible for earthquakes still? Do you do that?
I'm working on some stuff with the UN. I'm trying to get a black baseball team together with Kofi Annan and some of the darker people at the UN.
Why would that be?
The Broadway Show League, have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
They have their own baseball team.
Yeah, sure.
Baseball team.
Yeah.
Well, sports is such a wonderful way to get the peoples together.
Oh, you're saying a UN team could play the Broadway Show League team?
Yeah, one of the old black baseball teams.
Yeah.
So you have Kofi Annan and you have some people from Chad and...
Satan, are you a racist?
Absolutely not. I am not a racist at all.
So racism wasn't your thing?
Racism is my thing, but I'm not a racist.
I see. It's just work, not personal.
Right. You start taking this stuff personally, you know, you're not going to have time to...
Smell the roses. Do you smell the brimstone, too, or just the...
You got to take time to smell the brimstone there.
Yeah.
Very good. That's good.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Did I mention the 4 feet of my colon that I had removed?
Yeah, you did. How are you doing with that?
I feel great. You know, I have a wonderful doctor at the Las Vegas Medical Center.
So do you run Vegas?
No, that's a misnomer.
Yeah.
Vegas is mostly families now.
Yeah. What about Atlantic City?
A couple of things in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
I have the guys who carry everybody around in the little wagons.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But just a little bit here and there.
It sounds
fine. Like the Godfather said, you know, Al Pacino, we're almost completely legitimate into legitimate businesses.
Yeah.
Legitimate evil.
Now, let me ask you this. Knowing the bad name your name has gotten over the years, I mean, here's a general out of the blue saying he's at war with you from the old, you know, just the, as you say, from the reputation.
Yeah.
Have you ever given thought to changing your name?
No, I have not given thought to changing my name, and I'll tell you why. All publicity is somehow positive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's when they stop asking for your autograph.
Mm-hmm.
You have to worry.
It's when they stop declaring war on you.
Yes.
So you're saying as long as they spell it S-A-T-A-N...
That's right. Get the name right.
Yeah.
And you want to ascribe evil to me that I didn't do? You know, so much of the stuff that I have done that they don't ascribe to me.
You don't get credit.
You don't. But you know what? The dog barks, the caravan moves on. That's it.
Hmm. It's a much more philosophical Satan than I've ever talked with before. I'll have to say that.
You know, when you have grandkids...
Wow.
I spoil them rotten.
Yeah.
Absolutely rotten.
So it's between the 4 feet of the colon...
Well, they're losing the 4 feet of my colon, or... You know what 4 feet is, by the way? Have you ever, like, just measured that? That's a lot of colon.
No, I dated a girl once who was about 4 feet, so I know...
Well, imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine your ex-girlfriend...
All colon.
...sizes of that
yeah.
girlfriend removed from me.
Wow. So that does give you a new perspective.
It slows you down. It makes you want to really your trousers up and just walk on the beach and kind of get back in touch with why you wanted to be the most evil being in the world to begin with. You get so far away from the original thing that kind of inspired you to get into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It becomes about the money. It becomes about the gals, I'll say it.
Mm-hmm.
And you forget, hey, why do I want just evil, terrible crap to happen to people?
Mm.
You get away from that. It becomes... You know what it is. You buy a house,
yeah,
and then you accept more work,
yeah,
to pay the house.
Sure, sure.
You need more money to keep it.
Sure, sure.
And there comes a point, you want to downscale.
Yeah.
You know?
You want to get back in touch with the dream.
Yeah, or a gated community.
Yeah. I don't think we've talked about this before either, the increase in the amount of celebrations of Halloween. And now parents, organizations in some areas saying we shouldn't have Halloween in the schools because it celebrates Satan.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
It's sad. It's sad. For kids to dress up like monsters and to do tricks, to egg a house or whatever, this is as American as pizza.
Mm.
You know what's happening, Harry?
What's that?
Political correctness is ruining so much of what this country is all about.
Mm. Now, when you say this country, you mean the United States. You don't actually live here.
No, I'm a citizen of the world.
Yeah,
I live here, and I have a place in Nevis.
Nevis.
Uh-huh.
You like the Caribbean?
Love it there.
Wow.
Got the orange pants, the turquoise shorts.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Do you have to wear sunscreen?
Oh God, yeah.
Or you'll burn up.
Oh my God. My mother died of face cancer.
Your mother died?
Yeah.
Wow, that is...
Yeah.
So you've had a lot of...
She was 61.
You've had a lot of bumps in the road lately, Satan.
Yeah, but you know what? It strengthens you, really.
Mm.
Whatever knocks you have. I mean...
If it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger?
It makes you stronger, yeah. Exactly. And you got it. You got to keep working because people depend on you.
Yeah.
To do the bad, terrible stuff to everybody.
Do you... If General Boykin... We're listening right now, and I can't give you any assurance that he is, but
yeah.
If he is listening right now, what message would you have for him?
I'd say misplaced anger.
Hmm.
I'd say, General, you know, look to what's going on in your family.
Hmm.
Maybe you're secretly enraged about your in-laws. I don't know. I don't know the man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I respect him.
Hmm.
I respect the uniform.
Of course.
But I'm just saying, oh, it's easy to blame Satan. Hey, maybe he was passed over for some promotion. I don't know. I don't know how much higher you can go to general, but I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, well, there's many kinds of generals, I guess. So you'd say look inward?
I would. I'd say before you start pointing the finger or, you know, my therapist has a wonderful way of putting it. Don't transfer your rage off on somebody else. First find out what it's all about. Why does it bother you, you know?
Yeah. You have an analyst?
Yeah. Once a week only now.
So you're down from what, five?
I'm twice a week.
Oh, twice a week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. You know, I was in my therapist's office during 9/11. People say, oh, that has something to do with 9/11. Not at all. I wouldn't go there.
Yeah. So you were in a session.
I was in a session.
Wow.
And you know how they tell you kind of want your therapist to remember you and like you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've had that experience. In a way, it was kind of cool that I was in my therapist's office then, you know. But here I am in my therapist's office talking about, oh, my dad didn't hug me.
Mm.
You know, these kind of inconsequential things.
Mm-hmm.
And I go out and roll, you know.
Mm.
And her phone kept ringing more than usual.
Wow.
Only she wasn't answering it.
Yeah.
I go to a female therapist.
You find that easier than talking to a man about...
I do. I find I'm much more comfortable with women.
Hmm. Would you say in your career, have you done as many bad things to women as to men? Or, you know, which way does it go more?
I think it probably falls about even.
Yeah.
I think that there's no sexual boundary there.
Devil is an equal opportunity tormentor?
I think I've done more to heavy women.
To heavy-set women?
Yeah, heavy-set women. For some reason, I don't know why that is, but I'm working on that.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that, because that's an ism.
Well, it's an issue.
Yeah, Satan, I...
morbidly obese.
Yeah, I understand. And there's more of them.
And I guess, you know, I'm no therapist, but there's probably something buried there.
Yeah.
Rage. You know?
Clearly.
Stop eating, Mom. You know what I mean? I would say, stop eating, Mom. I don't want her to take me to school.
Yeah. And are you okay? Satan?
Yeah.
Yeah? This is a little... I don't think we've seen this side of...
Can I just love me?
Yeah, I know. I don't think we've seen this side of the fallen angel. Love?
Sorry, Harry. Cut all this part out.
No, it's all right.
Please promise me.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. My mother's been dead for 300 years.
Yeah.
And it's as if it's all one long day.
Yeah.
Not like different days.
So she died 300 years ago, and it seems like only 25 years ago?
Not to put too fine a head on it, huh?
Yeah. No, I'm just trying to quantify it a little bit.
I'll quantify you, you bastard.
He's back.
I gotta just chew myself out of that. Whoa, I'm at a bad place there. Sorry, man.
That was like a blood sugar drop.
You know, I'm on Atkins.
Really?
Yeah, I've already hit my head in the ice twice so far.
My God.
Yeah. I do that joke in my life. It relaxes everybody.
I bet. Satan, except for the people on Atkins. Satan, I want to thank you for coming on the air and clearing all this up, that you're not at war.
This is my busy time.
Yeah.
But never too busy to talk to you.
Well, I appreciate it.
Now, do you have management that you're happy with?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Well, that's great, but if you should ever, you know, change your mind.
I appreciate that. Are you in the book?
Which book? I'm not in the Bible, I'll tell you that.
No, well, I thought you were.
I'm not over the Bible.
Yeah. But, no, are you in the, I mean, when you're saying you're pitching your representation services, are you in the book?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're in the valley.
Satan, I want to thank you for coming on the air. Happy Halloween early.
Harry, God bless you. And keep up the good work. I love your show.
Satan, what did you say? God, what?
What?
You said God bless you?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Thank you so much for being on the air with us.
Keep up the great work.
Thanks.
I love everything that you do.
Thank you so much. I wish I could say the same. But
I get you.
Thanks again. Bye-bye. Satan, ladies and gentlemen, responding to General Boykin today on the Newsmaker segment of LeShow. Now some news of the media. Time Warner, the world's largest media company, officially began using its new name this week and released its new logo. Company formerly AOL Time Warner decided to stay with blue as its corporate color, though it reviewed a variety of options with its brand consultant. The new logo employs a classic Bodoni typeface with a slightly heavier weight to it than either the AOL Time Warner or the pre-merger Time Warner logos. The blue color is slightly richer than before, in contrast to the shareholders. I'll be back. That's what TV stations throughout California are suddenly saying about Sacramento. With Schwarzenegger about to take office, the Capitol Bureau, a concept that's been dormant for 15 years among the state's TV stations, appears to be on the verge of at least a temporary resurrection, according to the Sacramento Bee. No fewer than 8 stations in Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego, and Fresno are making plans to set up shop at the Capitol, which hasn't seen such a prominent out-of-town TV presence since San Francisco's KRON pulled out in 1988. This is my theory of last week. I'm really excited to be reversing that trend, says the top news boss at San Francisco CBS affiliate. Says Bob Long at KNBC in Los Angeles, Sacramento is where the story is. I expect we'll spend more time there than the governor-elect will, he adds with a laugh. The cost of operating a Capitol Bureau would approach $1 million a year, says Long, and it was the high price that led to TV's pullout in the first place, along with a consultant-driven notion that political coverage was dulling up the newscasts. So some of the station officials are already hedging. Clearly, we'll be in Sacramento for an indefinite amount of time, says Long, but I don't know that people are going to sign long-term leases, unquote. says Stacey Owen of San Francisco's KRON. The reality is I don't know that we'd still be up there in 6 months. Schwarzenegger made a very clear list of 10 things he was going to do in his first 100 days. It's part of our job to hold him to that. I've got to tell you, though, after the first 100 days, I think the interest is going to wane. We got some wonderful chases to... No, he didn't say that. Kevin Keeshan of San Francisco's KGO says, I don't see this going away, though he won't specifically say how long they plan to operate a Sacramento bureau. Well, we'll see. Says Steve Mallory, who runs a syndicated Capital News service, they should be here to cover important news, but they're coming to cover a movie star. What country do those people think they're living in anyway? Important news. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the some cable service in Japan. I don't remember the name. Around the world through the American Forces Network up and down the East Coast of North America on the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz across North America on Sirius Satellite Radio and around the world via the Internet via Le Show's World Service at two different locations, KCRW.com and HarryShearer.com. And it would be just like not entrusting our security to a madman if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you already? Thank you very much. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. Le Show playlists available at harryshearer.com. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.